Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you hear in today's message the love Christ has for you. As an Episcopal church, Grace has deep roots in the Anglican tradition, while also seeking to be a fresh and vibrant expression of this sacramental liturgical faith. We hope through the ministry of Grace Church, you will not only know the truth that God's love is for everyone, really no exceptions, but that you would also live out that truth in your life. Visit us online at www.graceyukon.org for service times and information about our ministries.
Jesus, let me be what you make of me while you be what I love. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, friends. It's great to be worshiping with you. Thank you, those of you who are joining us online. It's always great to see your names popping up in the comments if you're watching on Facebook with us. And it's great to be beginning this new year, taking this fresh breath of 2021, and to be easing into this season after the Epiphany that we celebrated on January 6th. And when we hear that word Epiphany, we often think about a revelation, an insight, a new idea that bursts forth and illuminates a truth to us. In the liturgical season, after the Epiphany, the season after the Epiphany, is very much about how Jesus reveals to us a deep truth about who God is and deep truth about the life that he calls us to live when he invites us to come and follow me. So as we hear the call story of the disciples today and follow Jesus' earthly ministry in these next couple weeks, we've titled our preaching theme for these weeks, All That You Leave Behind. We're thinking, of course, about all that we drop and put down so that we can follow Jesus more fully in our lives, like Andrew and John and Philip. And it's also a fitting theme, I think, for just this new year. This year, more than usual, we're coming off a year that I think holds a lot of lessons for us. 2020 was an epiphany kind of year in many ways. It exposed some truth of the brokenness of our nation, of our politics, of our society. It disrupted our health, our work, our schools, every aspect of our lives. And there is some stuff that we definitely want to leave behind about 2020 and never see again. But I also think there's some important stuff to hang on to from that year. Some lessons we learned about what is most important in our lives. And so I think for this season of Epiphany, I think our prayer that I want to invite us to consider together is this. Lord, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to go in this coming year? In our gospel reading today, we meet Nathanael, who must ask himself these types of questions. He, too, is about to go somewhere new in the year ahead. He is about to leave some things behind so that he can follow Jesus. Nathanael is a friend of Philip and presumably Andrew and Peter. They all are from this town of Bethsaida, a small fishing village in Galilee. But unlike Philip and Andrew and Peter, Nathanael is a bit of a pessimist. He's kind of a skeptic. Now, the Jewish people, of course, were very eager for the coming of the Messiah. And so when Philip comes to him all excited and says, "We found him, it's Jesus, and he's from Nazareth. This is supposed to be big and exciting news." What? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is Nathanael's response. Not what they expected his response to be. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That backwater town full of no good people. You know, Nathanael, he's got his assumptions, his bias, his outlook, and has pretty well predetermined his attitude about how he's going to receive this new information and how he is going to respond to it, at least initially. He eventually comes around, but initially, here he is in his skepticism. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? As I've been reflecting on this question in the last couple weeks, preparing for this series, it's made me ask, can anything good come out of 2020? Maybe you've been wondering similar things as we've gotten into this new year. And so our prayer is, Lord, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to go in this new year? A few weeks ago, just before Christmas break, there in kind of It was mid-December, I guess. I pulled into our church parking lot to get ready for our service, and some of our musicians and volunteers were here. They're starting to head towards the door, which hadn't quite been unlocked yet. And I pull in, and my attention was drawn really quickly and really suddenly to Skyview Elementary next door. And there were about 10 police cars with their lights going, and there were officers starting to surround the building. Now, anytime you see a bunch of police cars outside of an elementary school, it is not a good thing. And so my heart skipped a beat, kind of dropped in that moment for just a bit. And then I remembered, of course, that it's Sunday, there's no students inside, but I wondered if there might be a standoff of some kind. I had no idea what it could possibly be. And so as I pulled into my spot, I shouted over the fence, and I called the officer, and I said, "Hey, I'm the priest next door. We're getting ready for church, and there's going to be some people in our buildings for the next few hours. Is there anything I need to be worried about?" And he said, "No, we're just forming a perimeter." And so I clarified. I said, "So is there anything I need to be worried about?" And he again said, "No." I said, "Okay." So I started to head back into the buildings. And at that time, Principal Carla Smith called me, our principal next door. She was in the parking lot on the other side, on the other side of the building from Grace Church. And she saw me pull up. And so she was gracious enough to call me and let me know that somebody had broken in overnight, that there was nobody in the buildings, but they were doing one last final sweep of the facility before they let her go in to survey the damage. I was relieved, of course, that no one was inside. I was also relieved that nobody was on the scene and might run over to Grace Church while we were doing our service. But we did our services, and I called her afterwards, and I called her later in the week. We talked a couple times just to figure out what had happened. And I called to check in on her. And apparently what had happened is that Sunday morning, late Saturday night, two young men with shovels, they took, you know, big shovels and broke into Skyview Elementary. And they broke a bunch of blocks to the different classrooms. They broke the handles off the doors, I guess, broke the windows. They spread papers everywhere. They flung desks, smashed TVs, smashed projectors. They stole a few iPads, which I guess is good news. Not much was stolen. But they sure did a whole lot of damage and left a huge mess behind. Why? Like, I got just to be vandals and to create destruction, I guess. So Merry Christmas. What a way to end the year, right? Can anything good come out of 2020? I told Principal Smith how sad I was, how sorry I was for her and her school. It's been a really difficult and stressful year for teachers and administrators, I said. And she paused and she said, "Yes, it has been. But I made a decision Sunday as I went into the building and as I looked around." And she said, "I decided that I could either focus on the mess that was around me, the broken locks and the broken glass, or I could look up and see the dozens of people who came in on their weekend to help. You know, the maintenance crews, the custodians, who in a matter of hours got all of this mess cleaned up and straightened up so that the teachers could come in and check on their belongings." And she said, "I decided that that was what I was going to remember about the day. People helping, people caring, people coming together." Wow, I thought, you know, that's why she's the principal. Because she responded as well as you possibly could. Of all the responses, that was the best. And she brought that leadership, she brought that perspective to her teachers and to the school that week. So Principal Smith on one hand, and Nathaniel from our gospel on the other, they remind me that each of us has some control. We have a God-given agency. We have a choice about how we are going to perceive our situation. And your attitude matters a lot in how you receive new information and how you process what you've been through. And as one does that mental and emotional processing, you know, our experiences then become a part of our story. And our story is how we all make meaning in our lives. And it's how we draw purpose and significance. Our brains are meaning-making machine, and story is a big part of how we do that. Now, it's quite easy in our world as we look around to be pessimistic, suspicious, distrustful, uncertain. But if we focus on all the broken glass and broken locks, we may just miss the moments of compassion and care and unity that happen all around us. Our story shapes our present outlook, and that will determine our future. It can drag us down into despair and depression and anxiety, or it can root us in gratitude and hope. And you get to write your story. Now, I am not calling for a kind of Pollyanna, rose-colored view of the world that is detached from reality. What I'm doing is this. I'm suggesting that if we all start 2021 with this kind of process of inventorying our blessings, it might just be spiritually and emotionally and psychologically healthy for you. Because even amidst broken glass, we can find things to be thankful for. Remember Paul, who hardly Pollyanna. Paul wrote from prison and said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So my hunch is that there is a lot to be thankful for about this last year. Moments with family, moments of compassion, moments of caring for others and hopefully being cared for yourself. There's probably some realizations, I think, I probably worked too much and didn't get enough time with the kids. I realized that this last year. Or, you know, my schedule is just so busy, and I don't know if that was a good thing. Or, man, in a time of uncertainty, God really provided for me in a big way that I didn't expect. Harvest those blessings and those thanksgivings. Be grounded in gratitude as the soil that you're going to cultivate as you go into 2021. I would even encourage each of you to think about a couple people and to make a few phone calls this week to thank some folks who you leaned on in the last year. Thank them for being there. Thank them for making a difference in your life. And just by doing that, you know, that connection that you've created there is so important. This gratitude gives us a starting point as we transition into this new year. It allows us to put down some things and to leave it behind. It also allows us to pick up some things and to bring it forward with us, to move in the direction that God is leading us. We each have choices about how we are going to tell the story of 2020 and its impact on our lives. And that will shape where we go in this next year to come. While we're still in kind of this limbo period, friends, where, you know, we're not like kind of hopeless and stressed out as much as we were in, say, April or May of 2020, right? We now have a vaccine. We've got some new treatments and things that are helping with this. We know that this pandemic will end. It'll just take a little bit of time. So while we're in this kind of liminal period where we're waiting for that day to come, but still doing some social distancing and limiting our activities and things like that, we have this opportunity for a great reset. We have a chance to consider what we want to pick up and what we want to leave behind. And before everything opens up and there's some semblance of pre-COVID normalcy, before we start packing our schedules and picking up everything we didn't get to do and getting busy, 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 the question remains, Lord, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to learn? Where do you want me to go in this next year? As you reflect on the year, as you harvest the gratitude, perhaps you find an epiphany, a lesson about how God wants you to use your time from now on. Maybe your work-life balance is shifting for good. Maybe you find that you really do need to pay attention to some priority relationships in your life. Maybe God wants you to take Sabbath rest and refreshment more seriously. Maybe through 2020, God has inspired you to learn more about a social issue, a justice issue in our world, you know, about poverty and economic inequality, about racism, about some place where you might do some work and where you might be called to respond to God somehow to help move us a little bit closer to thy kingdom come. 2020 has had many lessons, many things to teach us about what's important in our lives. And right now can be a time of deep spiritual and personal growth if we are listening for those epiphanies of God. When Jesus called Nathanael, he says, "Follow me and you will see even greater things than these." So may we follow where Jesus calls, where he leads. And I cannot wait to see what you learn, to see where God is calling you and God is calling us in this year to come. Amen.